Thank you, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's us. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Welcome to the show. You can join us anytime you like at 312-981-7200. Wendy, in the history of tennis, there has never been a kinder, more gentler player than John McEnroe. John McEnroe has never challenged an umpire's call. He has never argued with anybody on or near a tennis court. He is, and I go back to the Victorian era, he is a gentleman's gentleman, and he joins us on the phone right now. Hello, John McEnroe.
I have to admit, I've never been introduced that way. So.
And probably won't be again.
I doubt it. Yeah, highly unlikely.
John, first of all, thanks for spending time with Wendy and myself today. Second of all, I can't wait to see you play tennis. It's the PowerShare Series, and it's coming to the UIC Pavilion a week from tomorrow. That's Wednesday night. We'll give you more details in just a little bit. But here's my first question to you. What is it like? You've been on a tennis court thousands, if not tens of thousands of times. What's in your head the first time you get onto a tennis court on any given day?
Well, you know, I try to put a lot of time and effort into it still. I have a tennis academy here in New York, but probably the first thing would be not to make a fool out of myself, especially when I'm playing guys, you know, like Courier, Philippoussis, Roddick, you know, a lot younger than me. They bring a big game, and fortunately it's set up where it's just one set each, so it gives me a puncher's chance. But at my age, you know, I want to just look good and feel like people would look at me and say, wow, that guy can still really play this game. That would be the number one goal.
Is it? Now, I've talked about this with Wendy. I'm a tennis player myself. In all honesty, it's a lot more fun to win than it is to lose, isn't it?
Oh, there's no question. You know, even at this age, our perspective's a lot better, but I've noticed that even more so. Although I have to say I learned that pretty early on. You know, there's a drive and a desire to get to the top. You get more benefits, more perks. People treat you a different way, so there's added incentive, obviously, money. But as you get older, you sort of take a step back. And tennis is one of the few sports, unlike football and pretty much all of them, that you see where you can still sort of participate in it at a later age. And that's why you see that there's still a Champions Tour, a Seniors Tour, whatever you want to call it. So, you know, my days are numbered, obviously. These new guys like Roddick, I mean, Roddick should still be on the main tour in my book. But, you know, when you get 35 over, Philippoussis is 40, I think. Jim's 46. So these guys, if it wants to keep going, have to sort of carry the torch.
Do you still enjoy playing? I mean, seriously enjoy it?
I seriously enjoy it when I'm actually feeling pretty good. So, you know, I put a lot of time and effort on and off the court, you know, go to a trainer. I feel better as a human being. But I actually probably enjoy it more now than I did when I was number one in the world.
Less pressure?
But certainly less pressure. I mean, you put a lot of pressure on yourself. You go to Wimbledon, and I'm a commentator instead of a player. It makes it a whole lot easier to smell the roses and enjoy my couple weeks over there. When I was trying to win, I was battling opponents, I was battling the press, I was battling myself. And I envy a guy like Federer, who seems to love the game so much and nothing really seems to bother him. So I'd say that is a quality I wish I had more of when I was actually playing at the top of my game. So I try to make sure I have a little bit better perspective now. So the other thing is just giving an effort. You know, I look at Nadal. He reminds me of Connors, the way Connors played. Every point is as if it was his last. So I try to go out now with the kids that I train at my academy or people that come watch and feel like playing in Chicago for me means a lot more than it might appear what people think, because I don't play that many matches anymore. I might play a total of, 20-25 matches the entire year.
And that's it. How about that? We're talking with John McEnroe. He's coming to Chicago a week from tomorrow. It's the PowerShare Series. Go to PowerShareSeries.com for ticket information. It's going to be a great match. It's obvious, John, by watching you all these years, that you love the game, but are there times when you hate the game?
Certainly, as you mentioned, losing makes it a whole lot less enjoyable physically. I think more importantly, if it's just not happening, I have done this a fair amount of times, even on Jim Courier's circuit, this circuit we're playing now, where I go out there and I think I'm ready, and then Roddick steps up or Philippoussis, and they just start bombing serves, and your neck starts hurting from watching the ball go by you. You can't really react to it. It's still being hit it extremely fast pace, and it's sort of frustrating. It gets you sort of down, and it's pretty hard to like it when you're getting your, I think you can say ass filled, but
you can say
your ass kicked by someone. It's not a whole lot of fun.
Yeah.
So then it makes me think about what else I can do besides playing. But, you know, I must say that I really, of all the things that I've tried to do the last 25 years since I stopped playing the main circuit at the end of 1992, it's pretty hard to top actually going out there and playing.
Yeah, sure. Yep. John, your
reputation. Hate to admit that at 15.
No, don't hate to admit that. Your reputation is obvious. You're probably one of the most passionate guys that ever played pro tennis. Any regrets on having that sort of a demeanor?
I mean, certainly, you know, six kids later, trying to set the right example. There's been times where the YouTube's videos have come up a little bit too often.
Yeah.
And so that seems somewhat embarrassing. And certainly if I had hindsight, like we all do, you would say, okay, there'd be certain things I would have handled differently because I would have made the situation better for myself.
Yeah.
And I sort of tapped out a couple times, and that's, you know, it's never a good feeling when you sort of lose it and then you don't feel like you have control, even though there was a lot of times where I was getting angry and yelling at umpires. 98% of the time, I felt like I was under control. I didn't
sure.
feel like I didn't know what I was going to do next. And there was a couple times where I felt like I have no idea what's going to happen. And that's sort of not a good feeling to have that. So that part I would change. But generally, I suppose that there's a lot of athletes out there that are champions that people don't really remember them that well, even though they were great champions. And the fact that they do remember, even though a lot of the time it's because of the way I acted as opposed to what type of results I had or what I achieved. And for a while that frustrated me, but now it's like I say when I speak to people on the radio, the things that I used to get fined for, now they actually pay me extra for. They'll be disappointed if I don't yell at the
Sure, sure.
You know, we all warn our kids to be careful with social media. Who thinks so many years later YouTube shows you at your finest? I didn't even think of that.
Well, I've tried to stay off social media as much as possible. Certainly, these people have addicted the human race, the people behind it. I haven't been a Twitter man yet or Facebook or any of these other things, but certainly as a guy who likes to play the guitar, for example, I go on YouTube and I can pick out any song I want. You go to it and things are available that are amazing. And so there's obviously good things about it. And in a way, it's sort of funny that you can go on. People, you can also even see matches. And the things, it's crazy how much the world's changing. I have no idea in 10 years what's going to be happening. But I know one thing, that in tennis, you need a lot of mental focus. And people's attention span appears to be, kids especially, that of like an amoeba. It's made it more difficult for tennis. I think it's a great sport, but people lose sight of the fact that a large part of sports is actually the mental part and the concentration and the focus that it requires, and that seems to be something that you don't see as much in a lot of sports anymore.
Are you still playing a band, John?
I still play with my friends.
Yeah.
You know, I try to convince my wife every now and then to let me jump on stage with her when she has a show. So I'm able to sort of maybe do that occasionally, and I'd like to, you know, I have an area where I can jam in my apartment, so that's fun. Not as much as I'd like, but I think the more that I play guitar, the more that I appreciate my tennis. So it works out, because in a way, like, I love the guitar, but I just don't play it well enough, so that gets really frustrating.
Did you start playing guitar because it's shaped like a tennis racket, or was it vice versa?
I started playing a little later, probably 21, 20. I saw Buddy Guy in Chicago at the old Checkerboard Lounge.
Yeah.
With an ex-bear buddy of mine, or he's still a buddy of mine, Gary Fensick. And I was like, oh, my God, this is just amazing. I mean, I'd seen other good guitar players already, but to see him up close and see what he did was inspirational. But it also made me want to quit because I realized he's a legend and And then I realized there's no chance that I'd ever be remotely close to him. But I had a chance to, you know, because of that and because of the notoriety and hopefully skill I had in tennis, I got to meet people and play. I actually jammed with Buddy Guy and Stevie Ray Vaughan once.
Oh, kick ass.
The tape is not available. You know, the two of them, that's, yes, but just cut out me, you know, cut out the part with me. I had it one time I was in Wimbledon, and there were the letters that they'd leave for all the players. And most, 99% of them were people asking for an autograph. This one note I saw, and I opened it up, and it said, hey, John, please call George Harrison.
Now, wow.
There's no way that this is actually George Harrison, but just because it was a Beatle, I said, I got to take my chances.
And it was him.
And I call this number, and it's George Harrison.
Oh, my God.
This is amazing. So I go up to his house. It's like a castle, exactly like where you think a Beatle would be living. And the next thing I know, it's like Gary Moore, the great blues guitarist, and yeah. George Harrison and I jamming in some studio near his place. So I'm like, there is a heaven.
Wow, that is so cool.
We're talking with tennis great John McEnroe. He's coming to Chicago a week from tomorrow night. It's the Power Shares Tennis Series. Go to powershareseries.com. All the ticket information is there. The wife that you mentioned, John, that you go on stage and jam with every once in a while, is Patti Smith from really one of the best.
Patti, you rub me the wrong way when
Smythe.
Patti Smythe. I'm sorry.
Patti Smythe, not Patti Smith.
A totally different singer.
People.
A totally different singer. So,
I'm with the beautiful one.
Right. Unless the other one is listening, in which case they're both beautiful.
No, she'd admit it.
I'm just saying the one I'm with is beautiful.
The other Patti Smith would agree with you on that. I got to be honest with you, John.
She's done okay, too. But my wife is a hell of a singer, and she was in Scandal.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
She can still bring it, and she's out trying to do a record right now. I think she's finishing one up, so hopefully she'll get out there and come to Chicago soon.
That'd be great. So you get to play with her. Have you brought her on the court? Does she have your love of tennis at all?
You know, she hadn't really played, but she started playing a little bit when we've been together 22 and a half years. But unfortunately, she hurt her knee. She had hit by a car when she was younger, and that had caused, she lost her ACL, and then she hurt, tore ligaments underneath. Thankfully, it wasn't when I was playing with her.
Yeah.
I never would have heard the end of it. She tore ligaments on the tennis court.
John, with the four of you playing in this Power Share series, do you already know who your doubles partner is? Has that already been decided?
Well, we don't play doubles. We play singles. I play Courier, and Roddick plays Philippoussis, and then the winners play. So we play a set each, and then the two winners will play in the finals. So it's about a two-hour exhibition. We go out. No one wants to lose, obviously.
Sure.
But we have some better perspective. But I haven't been able to beat Roddick because he just doesn't want to lose to an old guy. So that's my goal, just to get him once.
Do you even like playing doubles? I only played tennis in high school, and I didn't like doubles. I like doing the...
I like doubles a lot when I was younger for a while because I think it helped my singles. And I like, you know, the tennis, you're very isolated. So I like to play team sports, and I missed that a little in tennis. So playing doubles and, say, playing Davis Cup, which is where you represent your country against other countries, and you're part of a four-man team and some practice players, that felt more like a team, so I like that. But now I don't like playing doubles, really, because to me it's boring, and the game has gotten so different to me in the doubles that I don't find it interesting, particularly since really almost virtually all the time none of the top players really play doubles.
Right, right.
So that just, you know, it makes it even less interesting to me, but... I mean, you're covering half the court, so maybe when I turn 60, I'm going to have to start turning it up.
John, prior to your match a week from Wednesday, they're having a Chicago Media All-Stars match, and I'm participating in that. And the mere fact that I'm playing anywhere near a tennis court that you're involved in is the thrill of a lifetime to me. You've always been one of my favorite players, so impactful in my love of the game. So I can't wait till next Wednesday night.
Well, I appreciate that. I look forward to seeing what you got.
I hope so. It's...
We thought maybe you should...
Start practicing.
I can't wait. And actually, one of the guys I'm playing with is a guy named Mark Carman, who works here at the station, who has interviewed you in the past. He is your biggest fan, and he is nervous just because he knows you're going to be in the building on the night he's playing.
Well, I'm make a point of seeing you guys.
Excellent.
How much would it cost to walk by Mark Carmen and just look at him and go, you suck?
Yeah, would you do that for me?
Not much.
Thank you, John.
To my tennis foundation, and we'll work it out.
Okay. We can do that. We can make that happen. John, I can't wait until a week from tomorrow night, Wednesday night. I wish you nothing but the best, and I'm looking forward to seeing you play in the Power Share series.
I appreciate that. Nice talking to you.
All right, take care. That's John McEnroe. Again, powershareseries.com.
Thanks, John.
For all the ticket information. See four of the greats of tennis, and before that, four Chicago media all-stars trying our best to look like we know what we're doing.
Pretty exciting.
It's going to be fun.
He was too nice.
He was very nice, wasn't he?
Kind of a disappointment, quite honestly.
I'm not sure it was John McEnroe. Our friend and coworker John Williams is on the line. Hello, John.
That conversation with John McEnroe is just delightful.
Thank you, sir.
That's nice shocking, isn't it?
Well, I thought, though, you guys are saying you wish he'd yelled at you more, more McEnroe-ish.
That's why I purposely said his wife's name wrong. I wanted him to yell at me.
That was the hook. I'm like... He should have gone, Smith, no Smythe.
No, you know what happened? Smythe. Because of John M. Smith Furniture, I thought anytime a person spells their name S-M-Y-T-H, you spell it Smith or Smythe, but I'm wrong.
I would have asked him to yell at you. If I were you, I would just say, would you just yell at me a little bit? Because I want to drink in the whole McEnroe experience.
I thought that's when he was going to turn, because what did he say? Something like, I've lost all respect for you, or something. He said something, and I thought that's where it was going to build.
Yeah, he was
already. I think he was thinking that. I don't know if he said that, but I'm sure he was thinking that. But here's my 6 degrees of separation.
Yeah.
John McEnroe's parents are best friends with my brother's godparents.
I was going to guess that.
So if you tear a knee or anything and you need a sub, I'll be happy to play in that.
Would you fill in if we needed you?
Match or
you play tennis?
Yeah, I do. And I'm even better at tennis than I am ping pong.
And you're a good ping pong player, so that says a lot to your tennis game.
I'm not as good as you, of course, but nobody is. But I think
true.
I could beat Mark Carmen. I mean, can we get me in this thing somehow?
It might be too late.
I'll tell you what. Why don't we do this? Because the tennis court is a big place. It's 2-on-2, obviously, but I bet if we slip you in between points, they won't notice we got a third guy on the court.
2-on-3. I'm thin. They won't even notice.
Right. Right. John, if not this one, we'll play down the line, I can promise you.
Yeah, I want to play with you this summer or
right.
Spring if it ever gets warm. Let's hit it around.
I want to sneak a vodka and lemonade in my ice bottle and come watch you guys.
You guys could have this talk off the air.
That's
set
true,
up your games.
All right, that's true, too. All right, thank you, Steve.
Bye-bye.
But thank you, John. Take care.
Bye.
Wait, John, don't go. Don't let Bertrand bully you.
Steve,
he does it during your own show.
That his time is up.
From 1 to 3 every afternoon.
Steve is like radio's John McEnroe.
No fun?
Yeah. No, I didn't say
and
that.
A winner.
Right.
All right, good point.
Right, that's what I meant to say.
All right. He's saying we're running late.
That's what he's saying. All right, we'll take a quick break. Steve has the news, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Can I just say,
yeah.
Someone texted us a picture of John McEnroe hanging out with Robert Plant.
Yeah.
And
Are they friends?
I don't know. It could have just been Planty was at a match and...
Yeah.
Kind of decided, hey, let's take a picture with this guy. He's a hothead.
Yes.
I wanted to talk to him about the possibility of Led Zeppelin getting back together. I know this has been talked about many times, and they did for, the Kennedy Honors
mm-hmm.
ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
But it's their 50th year, and Robert Plant's the only holdout, so maybe, who knows? I got to get tickets and go see it. And how much do you think they'll be?
Oh, you'd have to take out a bank loan. There's no way you'd be able to afford it just in what's in your purse. I don't know. If it happens, it would be an expensive night. There's no question about it.
And it would be a one and done, I bet.
I don't think it would go much beyond a one night. Yeah.
It would be just right. for their 50th anniversary in California. That's all the rumors.
Yes.
I would like to fly out
for that if that was a possibility?
I really would like to go.
Yeah. It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
Jason Bonham, John Bonham's son, would
He'd
be drumming.
In. Yeah, yeah.
I would love to go.
Not bad. Here's a little segment we like to call, What's Bugging People in England? We don't do this segment very often, mostly because the people in England aren't upset by many things. They're very even-keeled in the UK. But everybody in England is talking about what happened when the Queen, now this is Queen Elizabeth II, not the ship, the actual woman, drove a Jaguar, or do you say Jaguar?
I say Jaguar.
Like they do in the commercial.
Nah, it's Jaguar.
Now, just for clarity reasons, if it's the animal you're talking about, it's a Jaguar. If it's the football team, it's a Jaguar. And if it's the car, they say Jaguar.
I never heard Jaguar. I mean, I've heard people say it, but I don't think that's right.
I don't think
anything.
It's right either.
It's Jaguar.
Yeah, it should be. Yeah, all three should be Jaguar.
The Jaguar is just to make it sound more expensive.
Yeah.
Which you don't have to make it sound that way.
It is expensive. I like when they just call it a Jag because that seems more appropriate sometimes, doesn't it? What's he driving? A Jag. I get it.
Who's driving a
you
Jag?
Know. I think you know. We know.
I like the hood ornament, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it's very imposing. That's the one hood ornament I would not want to be alone in a dark alley with. Is the Jaguar hood ornament. It would tear
it's
me
just
to shreds.
A hood ornament.
No, but if provoked, I think it would tear me to shreds.
Do people still steal those? Is that why they got rid of the hood ornaments?
They don't steal them because there aren't any anymore.
The Jaguar has one. Mercedes does too.
Mercedes, Jaguar, and I think there's one other company that does, and that's
the Yugo?
It. No, because you couldn't get any gas mileage with your car if you had a hood
true.
Ornament.
You'd the aerodynamics would be off.
It would screw up everything. Queen Elizabeth, this is a story out of MSN. Queen Elizabeth II is the only person in the United Kingdom allowed to drive without a license. Did you know that?
She's the queen.
I guess if you pull her over, it's obvious, right?
She'd although, give you that wave and
right,
you'd know.
The queenly wave. Be on your way. Sorry, queen. Yeah. No idea. And it says she's not giving up that privilege anytime soon. When she's not serving as the mother of her country, the queen loves driving, often taking her family for spins in her Range Rover. That seems odd to me, doesn't it, that the queen has a Range Rover?
No, another ritzy car.
Yeah,
she can't be seen in, you know, some piece of junk.
But a Range Rover, I equate with like back roads driving, like on trails and stuff. And I don't envision the queen doing a whole lot of that. Maybe a little bit on the weekends.
I don't think so, because they're too pretty and they're too expensive. Yeah. I think they're more of a status symbol.
Yeah,
I equate them more with like hip hop and like, you know,
yeah,
big rims.
You know what? Me too.
Which I could see her pulling off.
Yeah. And when she hits the horn, it goes,
why would she have La Cucaracha?
Just to impress her friends.
She's the queen, Wendy.
Does
she
have those
she wants.
Spinny hubcaps?
Yes.
Spinners. Yeah.
She's got
spinners. Yep.
She's a hip queen at 90-something.
And a bumper sticker that says, my other car is a Jaguar. She has got that. But no driver's license. She doesn't need a driver's license.
Good for her.
On Sunday, this past Sunday, the 91-year-old great-grandmother was spotted in her green Jaguar / Jaguar taking a spin after attending church services in Windsor. She just, on her own, just goes...
She's a breakdancer, too?
She is also a breakdancer. The Queen may be a noted car aficionado, but her solo outings may become more frequent. Last Thursday, Buckingham Palace announced that her husband, Prince Philip, will no longer be carrying out his public role as prince starting in the fall. I mentioned this yesterday. He's retiring, but I don't remember the last time I saw him. I mean, he always shows up at royal events and looks bored out of his mind.
He does.
I've never seen him look interested in anything. He always looks like, when is this going to be over?
So why retire? Because that's my question.
Right.
At this point, just live it out.
Right. Well, he'll be a consultant. That's what people do when they have jobs like that. They just become consultants. So if you're in England and you see a slightly older woman driving a Jaguar.
Going like 2 miles an hour.
If that.
In a 10-2 position, sitting on a phone book because she needs to see over the steering wheel.
That would be the queen. That's Queen Elizabeth II. All right, we must take a break and then some Tech Tuesday talk. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN. We have a pair of tickets to give away sometime between now and noon to the PowerShares Tennis Series. Stay tuned for that. But right now, it's Tech Tuesday, and here from CNET is Bridget Carey. Hello, Bridget.
Hey, good to talk to you.
Hey, quick question before we get started. I have an update on my EOS, as Bill calls it, the iOS system.
I actually met someone who actually thought it was EOS. But
oh, aside really? From Bill?
Just I thought it was just me. Good.
You're not that original.
There's safety in numbers, Wendy.
All right, so is it? What does this include? Should we do it? Because I never know when to do it.
Well, I haven't heard any news about it being bad this time around, but small updates that, you know, aren't the big software push, you know, these, like, small incremental ones are typically about security, so it is good to do. This isn't something that's going to give you a new feature. It's going to be about patching holes. So that is always good in an age where hackers are trying to, you know, get you at every turn and trick you. So
yeah, all right, I'm installing now. No one call me because my phone is busy.
That's fair.
Amazon Echo, now it's pretty exciting. My son Dylan, my youngest, wouldn't get out of bed. He has an Amazon Echo, so I went into his room and I said, play WGN Radio, and we have it hooked up. So WGN Radio, Steve Cochran came blasting on, and Dylan woke up and said, turn that off.
Yeah, that's nice.
But now what's going on with Amazon Echo?
Well, they have a lot of different versions of that smart speaker, and they just made a fifth one they announced today called The Show. It has a 7-inch touchscreen on it, although it's not really about touching because you're still going to use your voice to, like, command things. It's just more about having a screen there if you want to get your news of the day with a video or play a YouTube video to learn how to cook something while you're in the kitchen. Or the biggest feature, I think, is the fact that now you can use it as an intercom for video chatting. You can video call someone else that has an Echo or uses the Amazon Alexa app on their phone. So it's pretty much from, you know, Amazon user to Amazon user as a free calling service. Or you can even tie it in with, let's say you got some smart home security cameras in your house, and a lot of smart home gadgets do work with Amazon's products. You hook it up, and suddenly you can see, you know, it's a monitor for those cameras. Like if you have a camera in your baby room, and it becomes a baby monitor, you know. So there's a lot of applications here, but it is shipping next month, and it's $230.
That doesn't seem outrageous for all the things you just mentioned. Now, the key to all this stuff...
it also seems a lot like an iPad, you know?
Oh, yeah, I guess. Yeah.
But so it's more like, you know, here Amazon is really showing you the power of voice and the fact that everyone likes these Echoes, you know? So you could have maybe tried to do this with an Apple product before, but this is maybe a little more functional for some people.
Bridget, the key to this, though, is that you have to have an Echo, and the person you're conversing with also has to have one. Will at some point it be compatible with all devices, or are they just going to keep it in-house like that?
Well, you could talk to someone who has an app on their phone. So there's your little window.
Oh.
I mean, they could do it that way. But oh. Yeah, I think at start it's going to be just from like Echo device to Echo device. But yeah, like Amazon has its own app that they could tie into this.
Why do we need people anymore? I mean, this
people
whole
are obsolete.
World,
Wendy.
I know
they're done.
It's like we're never going to have to leave our house ever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know that I like the way things are going. I do like, Bridget wants to talk about this new vending machine, which intrigues me. Talk about that.
Well, something I just came back from checking out this morning. So there's a company out there who is making a vending machine that can dispense age-restricted items like cannabis and alcohol. And what they're doing is they're talking to casinos, they're talking to stadiums, they're talking to dispensaries in states that, you know, sell cannabis. And they're trying to treat this as something where if you pre-register with an account and scan your finger, not with a fingerprint, but it actually like, goes deeper than that. It can like scan the veins in your finger so that way you can't fake it.
They're taking over, man. Robots are taking over.
Yeah. This is something where, you know, you don't want to stand in line at the stadium, that long beer line. You go all the time. You're registered. You could just walk up and get your bud, and it can track like, oh, you know, Bill bought 5 already. Maybe you're cut off and
no.
You can't buy any more. You know, so there's security aspects.
I like it.
I think when you hear like, oh my gosh, a vending machine for weed, you know, you kind of take a step back. But the way they see it is, you know, we're going to a time where the technology is there to protect and verify, you know, who you are to get that 21 and over item because, you know, it's the more techie version of having the cigarette machine back in the day, you know. But,
I got to say one thing about the weed. Obviously, it would be in just the states where recreational use is legal, and pretty soon all states may make that happen. But to me, it's something you could trust more than some dude you met in the bathroom, you know, because
but maybe they'll shape it like a shady drug dealer to make people more used to it, Wendy.
The machine itself.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know what I mean? Because this company is going to claim responsibility. I feel like it's more trustworthy
right.
than getting it from some guy in the parking lot.
Right.
And let's say also you're at an apartment complex or a college campus, and we're not talking about weed, we're talking about like just pharmaceutical items that like Claritin D with the decongestant, the ID. You know, what if you just want to get something, but you know you're 21, you want to, you know, prove yourself, and, you know, there are different aspects that they're looking into. But right now what they're really talking to is the casinos. You can even buy maybe casino chips with it, or, you know, alcohol without having to wait in line. So I think that and the dispensaries are going to be the first places you see it.
Maybe they'll have a friendly name attached to it, like Scott's Weed and Feed. Then would you use it?
When I was there, they had a selection for Cheech's Choice.
Choice. From Cheech Marin? From Cheech and Chong?
Yes.
He's involved?
It's real, yes.
Wow.
Yes, it's real. Yeah.
And also, you know, it's funny because I still get carded once in a while, and I always feel like the person's just trying to make me feel good.
Sure.
I don't know why, but it's like they have to scan your license now. So in the old days when you had a fake ID, it was easy. They would just look at it and go, let me do my math. Okay, fine. Now they have to actually insert it. So that's what could be used in this machine as well to get your age.
Well, I got to say the downside of this is that they still have to have a person there to verify your identity and sign you up once. So there's that inconvenience once, but then how are they going to, you know, man that all the time? So there's going to be someone who still has to be there to kind of sign you up in the beginning. And two, hacking. I mean, sure, any kid can go into a liquor store and steal something, I guess. There's always that option. But, I mean, this thing is connected to the Internet. Everything's hackable. So I'm sure someone, if it's not being manned, is going to, like, stick their laptop on the back of this and try to hook it up and see what they can do to take advantage of that, you know, although they say that they do what they can for, you know, protecting for security. But your information and what you bought, how many beers you had, how many, you know, whatever you want to think, that's stored somewhere in the cloud. And I kept asking about, are people going to get kind of weirded out by that? And he's like, well, we're at a place where, you know, people are kind of used to having their information, you know, kind of out there, and not that they want to, you know, have it hacked, but
this is why they call it the cloud. I just figured it out. I couldn't figure it out till now. If they're selling marijuana in a vending machine, you know they're selling ho-hos and ding-dongs and cupcakes in that same machine. They'll make $1 million with this.
There you go. A good combo.
And it would be great, you know, like sometimes at the Blackhawks game, it would be nice if I could just give my kids my license and go, just go to the machine, swipe it, and bring me back a couple of beers.
Yikes.
So that's how people could get, you know, you could give someone your ID, and someone underage could do it. So I guess there are still some problems. What's going on in Disney World that Bill's so excited about?
Okay, well, I got back from a trip where I got to see a sneak peek of this new land they're building. They have 4 theme parks in Orlando. One of them is Animal Kingdom.
Yeah.
And they expanded like 12 acres to have a whole mini land based on that movie from 8 years ago, James Cameron's Avatar.
Sure.
You know, the one with the blue people aliens.
Yeah.
And it's very nature oriented. Well, they made a deal, you know, in 2011 with James Cameron, and it's finally about to open later this month. I never cared about the movie when it came out, and after going with a tour, the people who made it, the layers and layers of detail. When you're in there, you only see their jaw-dropping landscape. They made floating mountains, well, the illusion, you know, of floating mountains and like amazing waterfalls and fake plants that look real and it glows at night. And then there's rides that have the most advanced animatronics. I mean, we're talking eyes blinking, mouths moving while they sing, flowing, almost to the point of like, I can't believe this is a robot. And then they have this thrill ride where you ride one of their dragon things. They call it a banshee. And the level of storytelling while you wait in line, you like see those blue, you know, avatar aliens, like, you know, in the tube moving. You're like taken through these levels of like small. It's just when I walked with them, I guess I was taken aback by it wasn't that just that they were making it like, oh, you're on their land. It's that everything was hand woven because that's what they would do. There were no signs because they don't write in signs. They have totems. There was in the lab, there's a tiny experiment going on in the corner about how to restore the land from how all the damage the humans did in the movie. So it's like they spent 6 years building this thing with such detail and focus on conservation that you don't need to know the movie to go in there and appreciate that. I was just taken to an alien world. And there's a new language being spoken by all the employees, and there's new cool alien food to have that's, you know, looking funky but tasting delicious. If you add all these things up, you're a nerd who can totally get lost in the fantasy, you know, even if you didn't care about the movie, which I didn't, and now suddenly I want to buy all the merchandise.
That's excellent.
But I have a whole thing.
Yeah. And this opens at the end of this month, right? At the end of May?
Yeah, on the 27th. So, you know, if you love the movie, they're going to make four more of them. I think the next one's coming out in 2020. But that said, Disney just did what it does best, detail and make you the star of your own adventure, regardless of whatever you know about it to begin with.
It sounds pretty cool, sounds I have really to admit. Cool.
And you can see the lines from where we're sitting right now, Bridget. People are standing in line to get in.
It's going to be like that, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for the update. CNET senior editor Bridget Carey is her name, and this is a Tech Tuesday. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks. Good to talk to you.
Bye, Bridget. Thanks. We'll take a quick break. We have news and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you, Steve Bertrand. All right, it's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. It's 720 WGN. And May is National Stroke Awareness Month, and we have a special guest in the studio today. He works here at WGN Radio, an account executive. We have known each other from other radio stations as well. And I have to tell you, first and foremost, when people think of someone having a stroke, they think of the elderly. You always think, oh, my great aunt Mary had a stroke.
Right.
But it can happen at any age. And Steve Godsell is with us right now to say that it can happen. And it did happen to you. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Wendy.
All right. Can I just say, when we heard the news...
let me interrupt you first. Let's back up a little bit. How long have you been on the air here?
Here?
Yes.
A little over about 3 years.
Yeah, almost four years.
3 years. Is this the first time someone from the sales department has been on your show?
I don't know. Why, do you want to be the first?
Well,
is that important?
I'm just saying that it took somebody having a stroke to
that's what
from
it takes.
Sales yes. to be on your show, and that's
and
that
even
seems,
then we were like, I don't know.
See, yeah,
I've known him a long time. And I've never really liked him. Actually, this all makes sense. You're right. Every once in a while, we do have someone on the air with us, but
some of them have been hit by cars. We'll have them on. Or
so you have to have an accident or an injury,
some major.
If you're in the sales department,
that's how it works.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Listen, you are an inspiration to many. When we first heard the news that you had a stroke, at first it's shock because he's so young. That's the first thing everyone says. You're in shape, you eat well, you exercise. How could something like this happen? Let's backtrack. How did it happen?
Right. Like the whole story or
well,
just,
you can say what happened. You're out in the
I'm out in the garage on a Sunday because that's what men do.
Mm-hmm.
Working in the garage. And
what were you working on?
I wasn't working, you know, just fill in with wires and wood and hammers and things.
You're a true man.
Right, right.
That's
so,
right.
So you know, avoiding
household
chores.
Right. I gotcha.
Right. So I was out there on Sunday, and so I started feeling a little lightheaded.
Yeah.
And then really lightheaded. And then I was like, this doesn't seem normal. And so I went inside, and I said something to my son. And I noticed that my speech was a little strange. Didn't sound normal.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you know, I had to lay down on the ground. And then the next thing you know, I'm like telling my kid to get some help.
Yeah.
So it happened within, I don't know, a minute.
Oh, my
God. 2 minutes.
Nothing. You experienced none of these symptoms prior to this. It just was all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah. All of a sudden. Yeah.
Just all right, first of all, unbelievably scary. Scary for your son.
Really scary for my son.
And
me.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, just to hear yourself talking and it's not sounding like you.
Right.
So your son called the 911. He's a savior. You know that.
Yep. Big Henry.
And time is of the essence when someone's having a stroke.
Time is everything when you're having a stroke. I mean, the sooner you can get treatment, the better your odds are of making a good recovery. So every second that goes by is brain cells dying that might not come back.
So internally, that's essentially what a stroke is somehow the connector that's usually there is not working properly.
It's blockage in an artery.
Yeah.
So blood flow doesn't get to the brain.
Blood flow doesn't get to the brain. And yeah, so that's a regular stroke, a mini stroke. Would be blockage to the brain, and you only feel symptoms for a little while,
yeah.
And then the blockage dissolves on its own.
So you go about your business and don't even know you had one.
That was strange, but I'm okay now. And you should treat that just as you would a regular stroke. You need to get to the hospital as soon as possible because you're increasing your odds of having another stroke.
So if Henry wasn't there that day, you wouldn't be here today.
There's a good chance, yeah.
Because you can't drive yourself. That's out of the question.
Oh, I couldn't move. I couldn't move. I couldn't really talk. I couldn't dial the phone by myself or anything like that. So, yeah.
All right. So they say slurred speech, if there's some part of your face is drooping, what are some of the signs?
There's an acronym, FAST. So F is for facial drooping. If you see one side of the face that's drooping a little bit, if the person can't smile, so that's a symptom. And then A is for arm. If you can't move your arm, if one side of your body is really weak.
Yeah.
Did you have that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. My entire right side was, I couldn't lift my arm off the
floor.
You're
paralyzed.
Exactly. Yeah.
What about that tingling sensation they talk about in the arms? Were you feeling any of that?
Yeah. Well, it was more just complete loss of strength.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take us to
the
other two letters.
S.
Oh, S. Slurred speech.
Yeah.
And to me, that one's kind of the real easy one to spot. Your speech is slurred. And then, so if you have any of FAS, if you have any of those symptoms, then T, it's time to call 911.
Yeah. My father-in-law, no longer with us, but when he was younger, had a very, very small stroke in which he was trying to talk to his wife to explain he wasn't quite feeling right. And even though he was thinking the sentence the right way, the words just were not coming out. They were coming out all garbled. Yeah. You had that same kind of thing.
Exactly. I knew I was having a stroke.
Just from all you've heard about things.
Yeah, I just have seen it on TV. And I knew I was having a stroke. And I knew everything that was going on, completely conscious.
Yeah.
I can remember every detail.
Yeah.
But, you're kind of at a point where you can't really do anything.
There's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
You got to call the authorities and as quickly as possible. Yep. All right. So you're in the hospital. I had seen some of the videos you posted where you were kind of learning how to walk again, pretty much.
Correct. That wasn't in the hospital. That was at RIC, which is now Shirley Ryan. That was at the rehab. Yeah.
So you had some kind of surgery. Or no? How is a stroke treated? Like, once they know you're having a stroke, what?
I had you may not be aware of this, but I don't have a advanced degree in medicine.
What?
Yeah, I do, so I'll try and help you through this.
How did you get into the sales department at WJ without that?
I know.
That's crazy.
I know. It's really strange.
All right.
So I don't know how they treat all strokes. I do know that, most strokes, initially, they're treated with a drug called TPA, which dissolves the clot. That's initially how they do it. I had a stent put into the artery, the basal artery, the back of my brain.
To open up the blood flow.
To open up the blood flow, and it's still there, hopefully.
Yeah, it is. I looked when you came.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know it was visible. I must be losing a lot of hair. It's kind of crazy how they put it in. It goes in through your
groin.
They cut a incision down there, and somehow they go all the way up into your brain and put it in there.
But that's not the fastest route. Why would they take that?
It's up to them. Whatever they want to do. Well, ask Wendy.
I would guess because they need to get blood flowing, and isn't there like major arteries down there?
Yeah,
and they
I think
need
so.
To.
I think so.
Come up through there. I don't know.
I don't think they want to poke a big hole in your back of your head.
No, maybe not.
They can
avoid maybe not. It. They do this immediately, like as soon as you get into the hospital, or do they confer for a while?
They have to do a scan, to find out where it is, where the blockage is.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing you do. Well, the first thing they do is shave you down there.
And now do you do that all the time?
Yeah.
It's like once I bikini waxed, it's like I got to do that all the time now.
For Father's Day, I'm getting you a Brazilian. I just decided. I didn't know what to get.
I know.
Life easier for me.
The guy who has everything. But I and this part is a little bit
We are on the air.
I know. Okay. Disputed, but I swear that that was the first thing they did was shave me. And,
oh.
then they're like, okay, now what's the problem?
Wow.
But no. Friendly.
You have a great doctor.
I know. But I don't know if that happened for sure, but it seems like it did. It seems like it was awfully early.
When did your wife join you in the hospital? This was just you and your son alone at home when it happened. How did she find out what was going on and find you?
That's a really long and complicated answer, but she was there. My wife, Britt, was there probably within 45 minutes.
Oh,
she
good.
Was at a shower, actually, for a friend, and they tracked her down.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, good.
All right, I know we're joking about this, but I know how scary it must have been for you, and I know that you probably have feelings inside like, wow, I honestly couldn't have made it. You know, there's a chance I wouldn't be here today. But how long ago was this? And talk about your recovery, because you're doing amazingly.
Right. It was August 14th. So that's what?
Not even a year.
Yeah. I was in the hospital for, I don't know, 3 weeks. And then I was in inpatient rehab for another month. And then I had outpatient rehab with physical therapy and speech therapy and occupational therapy. I had that for probably another 3 months, and now I still go do a little physical therapy a couple times a week.
Part of your job is communicating with people. You're a salesman. You need vocal skills, and I'm sure at some point you said to yourself, is that a job I'm going to be able to go back and do again, right?
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure if I could drive again. That would make my job a little difficult.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's not easy, you know. Selling your show,
right.
It's complicated.
Oh, come on! We're the easiest show.
I know it's complicated,
right.
but once people get it, then they're all in. So.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that.
We have to take a quick break, and then really the main reason we had you on is to help others that, honestly, it's a misconception that just old people have strokes. It could be any age. You're in great health. It can happen to anyone. We'll find out more about that. His name is Steve Godsell, and he sells our show, Villa Wendy Snyder, here on 720 WGN.
This month is Stroke Awareness Month, and Steve Godsell is a longtime salesman here at WGN Radio, and he, back in August, himself suffered a stroke, so we're here talking about his experience, what happened then, and the aftermath of it, and we can't tell you how much we appreciate you doing this.
Oh, well, thanks.
Very, very nice of you.
All right.
Some strange music Kevin picked from the,
on purpose.
Yeah. Yep. Anyway.
So recovery-wise, you're pretty much recovered.
I would
as best
say
as you can be.
I'm probably 95%.
That's
know?
Pretty fantastic.
Good. Yeah.
What are some things people listening, if they're worried about having a stroke? Like I said, you ate well, you exercised, you're in pretty decent health.
Right. Yeah, 80% of strokes are preventable. So,
wow.
I mean, most of the strokes can be prevented, not all of them can. But I was, you know, the big one, most of them are just obvious, you know, smoking.
Don't
stop
smoke.
Now.
Don't smoke. You,
right.
You've doubled your chances of having a stroke if you're a smoker, not to mention, you know, lung cancer, colon cancer, mouth cancer.
Were you a smoker?
No.
You were not?
No. No.
He had none of the things that should have had a stroke.
I will say my cholesterol was a little high.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that probably contributed. And then the other things, you know, just go to your doctor, see what your blood pressure is, make sure your blood pressure is right, make sure your cholesterol is low.
If it's not, they have statin medications that you can take. That
tons of stuff that can help you with that.
But when you say that so many of them are preventable, what could you have possibly have done differently to help prevent the one you had? There's nothing, is there?
I mean,
except eating a tub of butter every time I saw you.
Yeah.
What's with that?
I know.
Yeah. Whatever.
Dipped in
in more
chicken.
Butter.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if there's anything I could have done, but most strokes are preventable if you're going to the doctor on a regular basis. Like I said, I'm sure that my cholesterol did contribute a little bit.
Yeah.
So.
And sometimes that's hereditary. My family has always had really high cholesterol. My brother gave up eating red meat for over a year, and it didn't even come down at all.
That,
so
I mean, your cholesterol, it doesn't mean like you're eating poorly. Cholesterol, definitely, there's times when there's nothing you can do about it. So
go to your
doctor. No matter what you eat, it's not going to affect your cholesterol. And that's in some cases. So, but you can regulate your cholesterol with medication, correct?
If you have one stroke, are you more susceptible to having more?
Yes.
You are?
Yes, yes.
And you think about that a lot?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you? Is there anything you carry on you in your wallet or something that says to people if you should be walking down a street and have one? Is there something you have that identifies?
No, there isn't. No, not really.
Okay.
I'm just hopeful if it ever happens, somebody knows what
to do.
Yeah.
And that's why we wanted to have you on, too. Again, FAST is an acronym. Any facial drooping, A, your arm, if you have any tingling or loss of sensation. S is speech.
Slurred speech, right.
And that is a telltale sign, and T is time. You got to get to this and treat it right away. So if you do come upon someone who is down on the street who's feeling weird, maybe you have now helped educate people to say, okay, let's just call the authorities right away, let them handle it.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, that would make me feel good if I help somebody.
Absolutely.
Prevent something bad from happening.
I'm sure you know this, but I can't even begin to tell you how shocked and scared everybody here was when we heard this about you. And honestly, the mere fact that you're sitting here and talking to us is miraculous. We're so happy about that.
Oh, thanks. Thanks.
Absolutely.
And someone wants to know real quickly, are strokes hereditary? If someone in your family has had a stroke, are you more likely to have it?
I think there's a connection. I don't want to...
But talk to your doctor about it.
Chances are increased, but I would talk to your doctor.
And go yearly. Get your blood levels checked because that's when you know if your cholesterol is high or if you have other issues that you need to tend to.
Don't be the macho person. Like, oh, I never see a doctor. I don't need that. Because if you have a stroke, it's not just a burden on yourself. It's a burden on everyone you know. Because there's a period of time where I was 100% reliant on my wife and family to do everything for me. So it's if you think of it that way as a reason to get to the doctor.
National Stroke Awareness Month is May. His name is Steve Godsell. And continued healing and success. And go sell the hell out of the show, will you?
Oh, it's so easy. It really is.
Thank you, Steve.
Good luck, Steve.
Thanks.
Really appreciate it. We'll take a quick break. We've got news next and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
And now, weighing in at 163 pounds... And 5'9".
I think after and now, the next line is the starting lineup for your Chicago Bulls, right? I think.
At least I tried.
Is it Gene Honda who does that announcement every game?
I know he does the Blackhawks. Yeah, I guess he would be doing
those. I think
Gene
Honda does that.
1 minute.
Till what? What happens
in
a minute?
He always gives the 1 minute warning.
1 minute.
And now,
the starting lineups for your Chicago Bulls.
Bulls in the news?
Yep. One of the Bulls is in the news. He's kind of a bull by proxy. It turns out that Benny the Bull is being sued, Wendy.
What now?
Now, I know that he was a romantic fling of yours at some point in the past, and we don't need to dwell on that.
I liked the horns.
You dated him between Ribby and Rhubarb, correct? you had a very serious relationship with Ribby that you will refuse to discuss.
It broke Ribby's heart when I left him for Rhubarb.
I know. But I know Benny the Bull was in there at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And that...
he was my palate cleanser between Ribby and Rhubarb.
And then you also dated the sausage that runs around in Milwaukee at
He
County
was
Stadium.
My favorite. Yeah. I thought that I was going to marry him.
Yep. That was love.
But he was from Wisconsin, so, you know.
Things happen. It's all right. A woman is suing Benny the Bull, it has been disclosed, over an injury that took place back in 2015 at a Bulls game. I will read you the gory details.
That's why I don't like people dressed up. Tommy Hawk is cool, but, you know, never let a mascot touch you. That's all I'm going
to
say.
That's your credo. You always speak at schools and you say to the kids, never let a mascot touch you.
Because it'll be either really good or really bad.
Oh, my God. All right. A woman is suing. Now, you're going to have to bear with me a little bit because for some reason, my computer doesn't. All right. Now it's moving. A woman is suing the Chicago Bulls mascot, Benny the Bull, over an injury, like I said, that she suffered while working at the United Center during a 2015 basketball game. According to her lawsuit, it was an injury that the mascot suffered.
The mascot suffered?
Yeah, that's what it says. That led to her getting injured as well.
Oh, okay.
Rose Garcia was working as a courtside order taker and server during the May 8th, 2015 game at the United Center when Benny, and I will quote here, was running out of control on the court.
That's what bulls do.
Bulls, yes.
Especially if they see red and the whole stadium was filled with red.
It would be disappointing if a bull behaved himself in a situation like this. Bulls traditionally, no one's familiar with the running of the bulls in Pamplona, Spain.
I'm with you.
They don't single file walk down the causeway. They
in an orderly fashion.
No. Bull, he was being true to the nature of what bulls do is what he was doing. She says he was running out of control on the court and injured his ankle. This according to a lawsuit filed on Monday at the Cook County Circuit Court.
They have a special coroner's office.
No,
like, oh
no
my
one died.
God.
Thankfully, nobody
no bulls
died.
Were harmed.
Nobody was harmed during the. Well, they were harmed, but not to the end of their lives. Thankfully, Benny started limping off the court with the help of another person. When Benny walked past Garcia, he pushed his left hand onto Garcia's left shoulder.
For support, maybe.
Sounds like a game of Twister. I think he was quickly challenging her to a game of Twister. With all of his body weight. And I can't even guess what Benny the Bull weighs, can you?
Bulls are a couple thousand
pounds. Bulls are thick. They are thick. He did this to help lift himself up and balance himself, the suit alleges. So he, now let's picture this, he injures himself.
His ankle.
His ankle. So he is using her, Rose Garcia, as just a means of support.
Well, did she offer herself?
It doesn't say she did.
Because you don't usually just, see, I don't know, Bill, because like if you fell,
yes.
Kevin and I would
you'd help
flank
support
you.
Me.
We'd
well,
come
flank
up.
You. You don't have to get mad at me. I just injured myself in your fake story. What are you yelling at me for?
I'm not. We would flank you.
Hey, clean it up. We
so
have new
be
owners.
One on each side to help you walk because you couldn't walk on one of your ankles.
Oh, I see.
But you wouldn't just reach out and grab us.
A stranger.
Yeah.
If
I mean,
I knew
she,
someone.
She
yeah.
probably said, oh, Benny, can I help?
Right. Benny, can I help you? She sang it, I bet. It became like a rock opera.
Now flank you.
Now I deserve it. Garcia then felt a sharp pain in her shoulder.
Was it his horn?
Oh, I bet it was. That makes sense because that's where his horn would be. Garcia felt a sharp pain in her shoulder. It doesn't say it was his horn, but we're guessing it was his horn. And then heard a popping noise.
Uh-oh.
This according celebrity pop impersonated. This according to the lawsuit. As a result, she suffered injuries of a personal and... Oh, this is a word I've never seen before.
Oh, I love this.
I'm going to spell it out.
Oh, God.
You
right.
tell me. I have no
Go
idea.
Slowly.
I don't know how you'd pronounce this. And John McEnroe has already called me out once on today's show for pronouncing things incorrectly. I'm not going to have twice in one day. Injuries of a personal or PECUNIARY.
Pecuniary.
What is that? Small? What does that mean? Pecuniary nature. Injuries of a personal or pecuniary nature.
Private, something you don't want to...
Is that what it is?
It says relating... It PECUNIARY.
Yeah.
Pecuniary,
you said.
All right, I said it correctly. It's relating to or consisting of money.
Oh. All right.
So she was having personal monetary problems is what I'm getting here.
She suffered injuries of a personal and pecuniary nature, meaning she was she probably lost her income because he gored her with his bullhorn or something. Garcia is suing Barry F. Anderson, who was acting as Benny the Bull. Wait a minute. That's not a real bull. That's a guy dressed like a bull. That's the first time hearing of this.
I when just gave you cartoon eyes.
I always assumed they trained a bull to do this, but now I learn it's a man dressed as a bull. I'm suing them, too.
On what grounds?
They pulled the wool over my eyes.
Not a sheep.
No. I'm also suing Benicio del Toro, because his name is very similar to Benny the Bull. Actually, his name is exactly Benny the Bull.
Benicio is Benny, and Del Toro is of the Bull. Benny of the Bull. That's Benicio Del Toro, so I'm suing him.
If any attorneys are listening right now, do not answer your phone if one Bill Left calls
Call
you,
Rich
please.
Lankov. I want to sue Benny the Bull and Benicio Del Toro. Chicago Bulls Limited Partnership is also being sued, as well as Chicago Professional Sports Limited Partnership, all being sued for negligence. Why were they negligent?
Because he is employed by them.
Oh, I guess so. I guess so. She seeks damages in excess of $50,000.
That's not too bad. Just pay her, shut her up.
That seems like a lot of money to be gored by a guy wearing a stuffed bullhorn. It's not even a real bullhorn. It's not
sharp.
It's probably
soft.
Yeah, I bet it is soft.
He just had too much weight. She sounds like a diminutive girl. And
Rose Garcia does?
Perhaps, you know, the weight of him, the dead weight, because he couldn't walk on his ankle.
Right.
I don't know. It hurt her shoulder. She's in pain.
She can't work anymore.
But why? Is that how long court things take? Is it 2010 this happened?
No, in 2015.
Oh, I'm sorry.
2015. So May 8th of 2015, we're coming up on...
it was a year.
Yesterday was the anniversary of this. So
some anniversary.
Happy anniversary, everybody. All right. So, wow, what a case this is. I wish Matlock was still in business. He'd take this on.
Can I just ask you why they, this is an organization that can certainly afford it. Why don't they just give her the 50 grand and shut her up unless nothing really happened?
Yeah, I think they could prove that, she's embellishing a little bit.
I got to tell you, that's a thankless job being one of those servers at a Bulls or Hawks game.
Sure.
It really is.
Sure.
It's a lot of work.
But don't you assume if you're near the court that things can happen quick?
Yeah.
Although you would assume that would happen with the players. Like if you watch any basketball, a lot of times you'll see players
go into the crowd.
So you would assume if I'm anywhere near the court,
it could happen.
Yeah. I have to keep.
Although
careful.
You'd hope it wouldn't be with the mascot. But hey, he hurt his ankle.
Right. That's
coming
true.
Off the trampoline funny.
Yes. That's how it, so many of these injuries, Wendy, that's how it is. All right, we'll take a quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right. In the meantime, we're going to talk to Richard because we were talking about the Benny the Bull lawsuit. Richard, do you have more information on this?
Not specifically with the case, but I will tell you this. I'm an adjuster for an insurance company. But the reason that the lawsuit was filed is because in the state of Illinois, if you have not settled a claim, an injury claim, within 2 years, you have to file a lawsuit. So what has probably happened is, for whatever reason, she has not been compensated for her damages. That's number one.
Which someone texted us and said, the poor woman suffered a rotator cuff tear, which requires surgery, time off from work, and 3 months of physical therapy, 3 times per week, $50,000 is getting off easy, according to a listener.
Absolutely easy. But here's why the Bulls aren't paying. If she's a vendor there, like an Andy Frain or passes out the popcorn or the beer or whatever,
She's
not employed by the Bulls. She's not employed by the United Center.
She's a private contractor, right?
She's a private contractor. And private contractors pay their people minimum wage, if that, and they don't take care of them in situations like this. So I don't even know if she's actually going to have any kind of case, but that's why she has filed, that's why her lawyer has filed a lawsuit on her behalf, because the statute has run. So the only way.
So it's now or never.
It's now or never. File a lawsuit now just so that you can keep it from, disappearing. And then,
see what
pretty
happens.
Much, I'm sure. Yeah, they'll see what happens. An offer will be made and it will be settled and we will never hear about it. We're never going to know what happened.
Richard, if you're the Bulls and this goes to court, do you use a lawyer who is also dressed like a mascot? Is that a good idea or a bad idea?
I think you have to, man.
Yep.
You have to. You have to identify who the plaintiff is
yes.
and who the defendant is. And so that's what you got to do, man.
Yep.
Another listener has texted in saying that this suit is bull crap.
Oh, really?
it's Chicago bull crap.
Yeah.
Richard, thank you for your expertise. We appreciate it.
No problem.
Take Have a care. Good week. Thanks.
All right. You need to congratulate someone.
Yes, I do. Penny from Oak Brook. Penny, are you with us? Can you talk to us for a second?
I didn't punch her up.
I imagine what Penny would say would be, oh, I can't believe I won. I never win anything.
Ask her.
Penny, do you ever win things?
No, I don't win things.
That streak has come to an end today. You were going to see PowerShares tennis at the UIC Pavilion. Are you a big tennis fan?
I am a huge tennis fan, and I was just thinking I forgot to buy tickets, and I just dialed. I'm just picking up lunch, and I dialed the phone, so it's a great day.
What's for lunch today? That's what I'm curious about.
We're going to see. It might be sushi from Jewel, so don't judge me on that.
Oh, I get it from Walgreens. What are you saying?
Yeah, you're fine. Penny, you get a pair of tickets to see John McEnroe, Andy Roddick, Jim Courier, and Mark Philippoussis. That's a week from tomorrow, Wednesday, May 17th. And if you can, the celebrity match, Chicago celebrity match, takes place at 5:15, and it's me against Mark Carmen. So please come to that and root for me and against Mark Carmen, would you?
Well, I heard you guys talk about it last week, and that was, you know, just another reason I'd want to go. So I definitely will be rooting for you.
Excellent.
Awesome. Hang on, Penny. We'll get your vitals and set you up. Congratulations are in order. If you missed our interview with John McEnroe earlier this morning, you can always go to WGNRadio.com and check out the podcast. And also go to WGNRadio.com and listen to the bonus hour, our stream of consciousness, which is going to happen at 12 noon this afternoon.
It's just minutes away. Stick around. We'll find out what's coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve Bertrand in a moment. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.